This is Insurance Marketing with John Carroll, Episode 7. Let's rock.
Welcome to Insurance Marketing with John Carroll, your resource for marketing ideas, sales tips, and business strategies that help agents like you survive and thrive. And now your host, John Carroll.
Hello and welcome to episode number 7 of Insurance Marketing with John Carroll. I'm John Carroll and I welcome you to another exciting and eventful and awesome action-packed episode of this podcast. Today I'm going to be talking about something that I think is very important and interesting. I'll tell you why in just a moment, but I'm going to be talking about how to hire the best insurance salespeople for your agency. I'm actually going to go through 25 different hiring tips so that you can find the best possible people. So before I really break into the individual 25 tips, I want to give you a little background about why I believe that this is so important. A lot of you already know that one of the ways that I learned in the insurance business is I actually had a job where I worked for a major national carrier and I was like a roaming consultant. So I basically had a territory of southern New Jersey, and my job was basically just to help all the agents for that carrier within southern New Jersey. And I got to tell you, I don't even know if I realized this at the time, but I cannot tell you, it was absolutely the coolest job you could ever possibly imagine for somebody like me, because I'm really interested in entrepreneurship and local business and how somebody can go from basically nothing to having a successful local business. It's absolutely like the most interesting thing to me. And having this job put me in this really unique position where I was able to meet literally hundreds of insurance agents that were all selling the exact same product for the same company. And what was so amazing about it is that if there was 100 agents I worked with, there was 100 different strategies and approaches that they all took to everything. And it was so amazing because I could see the guys who were successful and I could see the guys who were unsuccessful. And the more I did it, the more I started to learn what it was that was making the successful guys successful and the unsuccessful guys unsuccessful. And I really feel like that was an experience that gave me so much knowledge. I mean, I can imagine that if I had spent that same time working in one agency, I would have learned some good things that I didn't learn in terms of like the day-to-day getting everything done. But I cannot imagine a better way to learn about the industry as a whole than to work with so many different agents, learning so much about what they do differently and the same to make that work. But anyways, enough about that. The reason I bring this up is because from the day I started that job, I remember one of my primary goals was to identify the one thing that separated the successful agents from the unsuccessful agents. Now, what I learned over time is that there's probably a bit more than just one thing, but you know, my brain being, you know, a normal human brain, I was really trying to like lock down on one specific thing that really separated the winners from the losers. And I don't want to go too far on this, but I would think it was one thing, and then I'd realize, no, that wasn't it, because I'd find somebody that didn't fit the mold, or I'd think it was something else or something else or something else. And ultimately, I finally did discover this one unifying characteristic that more than anything else correlated with an agent that was successful. That one factor that I saw in every single very successful agency was the ability to attract and keep the best employees. That one thing, it worked. It didn't matter if you were a nice guy or a jerk, or if you were funny or you were organized or you were whatever. If you could attract and keep the best employees, you were successful. And if you could not, you were unsuccessful. And I cannot tell you how important that is compared to all the different things that you're looking at with your agency. Being able to get those great people is so important. So that's why today's podcast is a very important topic. I'm going to go through 25 tips that you can use that I'm sure, even if only one or two of them will help you, it will help you get closer to that goal of becoming the number one expert at finding, hiring and keeping the best people. So tip number one, if you're really looking for the best of the best and you can't afford to pay $100,000 a year, hire somebody who's young. Okay. Someone who's fresh out of school or just entering the job market. Obviously there's a gamble involved, but when there's a gamble involved, you can get them for a cheaper price. Okay. Now, if you think about it, most of the top tier licensed and experienced producers, they're either happy where they are or they're too expensive for you to pay. Or maybe they're, you know, they want to become an agent themselves and you're not going to have them for too long. Okay. So that's not my number one tip. Think about getting somebody young. There's a lot of reasons why that can help you. And I don't want to just say just people straight out of college, because some of the best producers that I met, there was actually this segment of producers that I found that they were so good. And these were women who had had children. And hope I'm not saying anything sexist or unfair about this. I'll apologize in advance if I am, but I remember working with so many producers who were women who had left the workforce to go home and stay with their kids. And now their kids were, you know, older, maybe 5-6 years and going back to school. And the mother was now ready to get back into the working world. And I worked with so many of those people, and I cannot tell you how great they really were. Because number one, being a parent makes you so good at, I'm totally going off on a tangent here. Actually, I'm just going to come back. Just keep in mind that those are a really great segment of people that you can get for an affordable price that can really become superstars. Okay, number two, the best sales personality is not necessarily what you think. So a lot of times when we think like, who's the best sales guy? We kind of think it's like this guy who kind of like walks around and he's like Mr. Cool, like Charlie Sheen in Wall Street, right? Like the guy who's just like, oh, I'm so cool. Like, you know, if I was doing any better, it'd be a sin. You know, like a major extrovert guy who can go to a party and before you know it, he's got 100 people surrounding him. Not that that'd be a bad thing, actually, but a lot of studies have shown that the best salespeople are actually people who lie somewhere in the middle of the spectrum between introversion and extroversion. And I'm not going to go too deep into it, but basically the premise here is that the guy who's like a supreme extrovert is probably not that good at listening to other people, and they're also not as good at having empathy. I'm sorry if I'm offending you, but this is just kind of scientific psychology stuff. The person who's introverted is a lot more sensitive to listening and to what other people might be thinking at any given time. So a really introverted person is going to be too scared to make a sale, but the really extroverted person, the guy you think is great, he's probably not the guy who can actually get the job done. So you're actually looking for somebody who falls somewhere in the middle that can be personal when they need to, but they still know how to listen to other people and pay attention to the cues. Number three, do not hire for a license. Okay, I can't tell you how many agents I've helped create job postings where the number one thing they said is you have to have an insurance license. You know, an insurance license is not that hard to get. You can take online classes. I mean, this is how I got my licenses, is I took it online. I went, I took the class. And if somebody's really hungry, if they're really serious about it, they'll be able to do that. Find a great person and train them what to do, including that license. Don't, you know, if you are only looking for somebody with a license, you're already limiting yourself to like 1% of the population, smaller than 1% of the population. And they're people who've kind of gone through the system and didn't work out somewhere else. So I wouldn't make that a major requirement. Maybe it's a bonus, but it's not a requirement. Number four, hire somebody that's close to the agency. You know, it sounds kind of silly, but when you've got somebody who lives 5 minutes away from your agency, as opposed to somebody who lives 45 minutes away from the agency, there's actually a big difference in how well things can work out. Because number one, they're not as stressed. So when they get, you know, they get to work, it's easier for them. They're, you know, they're not going crazy. They're less likely to kind of, if they're at the end of the day and a lead comes into their email, they're a little bit less likely to be like, ah, screw this. I'll do this tomorrow morning. If I don't get out ahead of the traffic, I'm going to be in trouble, right? And if you have an event going on the weekend, it's easier for that local person to say, yeah, I'll swing by, I'll run the tent, you know, I'll do whatever. You know, they're more likely to stick with you because, quite frankly, having a job that's closer to your home is a huge, huge advantage. That if somebody's going to drive a lot further every day, they're probably going to have to make a lot more money or have a lot more opportunity. And the key thing, though, and, you know, this is there's a flip side to this, but when you hire people who are close and local, you know, most of your clients are probably close and local. So when you go to the same grocery store as the person that's selling to you, you know, when you go to the same high school, your kids go to the same thing. There's so much more of a local connection there. So I would say that, you know, if you got two applicants, and even if, you know, the one that lives further away is a little bit better, I'd probably put a lot of weight in the fact that the other person lives closer to your agency. There's a lot of advantages to that. Number five, try before you buy. Okay. Now, if you bring on a new employee, it's a huge, huge commitment. And just talk about like the risk of the person comes in and they don't work out, and then you have to get rid of them. And it's a huge liability. Think about maybe bringing somebody on for a temporary project, or maybe even just pay them as an independent contractor with a 1099 form. And the key is that they're going to work hard for you at the beginning because they really want to show you, but you really don't get an idea. I mean, people have this, there's very little correlation between the way people act during a job interview and who they really are on a job. And the only way to find that out is to really get them to work for you. So if there's any way that you can bring somebody on a temporary contract or, you know, whatever type of situation, there's any way you can do that. You can learn a lot in those first, you know, months. Next, number six, this is just an interview question that I encourage all agents to ask their people. And the question is this, and I'm sure there's some variations you could use, but this is what I like. What's the last sales or self-improvement book that you read? And I love this question because it helps you figure out a couple things. Number one, is this somebody who's actually interested in being successful in their career, in their life? And not only interested, but are they actually willing to do something about it? Now, even if they're not, so let's just say that it's somebody who doesn't read, has never read a book, they're a complete moron, and they don't care about self-improvement. But let's just say they can kind of like think on their feet and still make you feel good about the answer they give you. Well, that's a pretty good skill right there too. So I really like this question. I mean, I'd prefer to get the guy who's telling the truth, you know, somebody who's really dedicated to making themselves better. That's going to be your better employee. But even if they're just really good at making it up, like, hey, that's, you know, there's a little bit of a benefit there. So number seven is when you bring people on or when you're talking about money, I recommend to try to pay people as close to 100% commission as you possibly can get away with. I know that that doesn't always work as you get further away from the sales, the ownership of the business, but, as close as you can get people to commission, the better off you're going to be. And I think you probably don't need a big lesson or me to really explain why that is. Number eight is to match your producer's commission structure to yours. And so to give you a very simple example here, if you're making a percentage of every policy that you sell and a commercial policy for $20,000 makes you $2,000 and a renter's policy for $150 makes you $15, are you paying your people the same for both of those? And the thing here is that if you are paying, you know, if what you make money for is not the same thing that they make money for, then it poses problems because they're not going to have your interests in mind. They're going to have their interests in mind. So basically, you know, even when your commission changes, you can change your employee's commission. But the closer that you can get those things to match, it works out better for everybody because now everybody's on the same page. They're doing what you want them to do because you've set it up for them to do it that way. Okay. That was number eight. Match your producer's commission structure to your structure as much as you possibly can. Number nine, watch out for those producers who say during the interview process that they want more base and less commission. It's kind of a bad sign if you think about it. Okay. What I used to tell agents is when somebody says they want more base and less commission, you should counter with less base and more commission. See what they say. I mean, that really hungry person is going to jump at that. Okay. The person who needs more base is the person who needs more security. And I don't know that person's the best person to sell for you. You know, with any of these factors, there's a range of contributions that are going to go into how you feel about somebody. But, you know, to me, in my experience, I always found that to be a warning sign when somebody would say, you know, if you could take away some of my commission, but I just need more of a base. It's just a bad sign. So that was number nine. Number 10 is to be on the lookout everywhere that you go. All right. Because a job interview is a really bad way to find out whether somebody's a good employee. A much better way is to actually see them working. Okay. So if you're looking for somebody, just, you know, when you go to the fast food restaurant and you have that person who's really nice and they're really kind. I mean, I remember I met this guy one time. I was getting my gas pumped. This is way back in New Jersey, where they pump your gas for you. At least they used to. I remember I had this guy, and he used to pump my gas. And I swear this guy was like, he was the nicest guy. He always had kind things to say. It was incredible. And I remember thinking this guy would be such a great insurance salesman. And he's pumping gas. And I wonder how many people, how many employers have talked to him, have engaged with him, have thought about that, and yet he's still pumping gas. It just doesn't make any sense to me. That was number 10. Number 11 is to consider hiring part-time workers that are working somewhere else. Okay, so let me give you an example. Really, the key here is that we're looking for people who have a job already that are looking to make some extra income. So maybe it's like a real estate agent or a mortgage broker or somebody whose full-time job is, you know, I don't know, doing landscaping, whatever it is, but somebody who can work for commission and basically do it like on their free time with their different contacts and everything. I mean, if you think of it like, you know, if you had a team of, say, six different people who could all bring you in like, I don't know, 2 to 4 policies a month, at the end of the year, you're looking at like 200 extra policies this year that are going to be brought in like that. And these are people that you don't have to worry about how much you're paying them because they've already got this source of income that's covering, you know, a lot of their expenses. So, you know, but just you want to look for certain jobs or situations of people who might be looking for something like that. You know, sometimes like ex-cops are good because they know everybody. Maybe they just know the criminals. I don't know. Number 12 is watch out for these people. I like to call them agency jumpers. They're basically the people that you look on their resume and in the past 3 years, they've been to 5 different insurance agencies. They never work out. Okay, they're always good interviewers and they always have really good explanations for why they were jumping around. But in my experience, I find that it's always the same story. First 3 or 4 months, they're awesome. Okay, first day, they're awesome because you throw them in the desk and they already know what to do. But they start to get bored. They spend more time on the internet. And, you know, from time to time, maybe in front of you, maybe behind your back, they start to kind of disagree with the way that you run their business. And of course, because, you know, they've been around, they've seen so many different things. Of course, there's going to be a few things that you do that they don't agree with. And before you know it, 6, 7, 8, 9 months later, they're spending most of their time just looking for a new job so they can do it again. Watch out for those folks. Is there a good one out there? You know, there could be, but, you know, to me, it's a big major red flag. There are some people who are just career agency jumpers, and chances are they're probably never going to be happy. Number 13, ask everybody you know. Tell everybody that you're trying to find somebody. But the key is you don't want to say to them, hey, I'm looking for somebody. You know, do you know anybody that needs a job? You know, I have a job opening. Because what happens is when you say to people, hey, I'm looking, you know, I'm trying to hire somebody, everybody thinks, the immediate inclination is to think, okay, well, who do I know that needs a job? Well, there's my cousin Larry. Cousin Larry from Perfect Strangers. Well, there's my cousin Larry who just got out of prison. He doesn't have a job. He really needs something going for him. What you really want to do is say something more like, you know, I'm looking for a really hard worker that can learn fast and probably somebody who's already working somewhere else, but they're just not seeing the career opportunities that they need there. Now, all of a sudden, this person is not thinking of all their unemployed friends. They're thinking about all of their ambitious and unfulfilled friends. And that's the pool of people that you really want to be looking for. Because the ambitious and fulfilled people, chances are they're not going to jump over to you. It's the ambitious but currently unfulfilled people that will jump over to you and help you. Number 14 is to hire locals. I kind of already said this when I said beware of the people who are far away, but just keep in mind, people who, you know, went to the high school there in town, they're going to know a lot more people, a lot more potential customers than people who say they just moved to town. I mean, I've been just moved to town like almost my whole adult life, and I really don't know that many people where I live, anywhere that I've lived. But if I went back to my hometown in Syracuse, New York, you can't go to a mall or a restaurant or anything without seeing somebody you know. It's actually kind of creepy. It freaks me out. if I was trying to sell insurance, that'd be the best place to do it. Number 15, use Craigslist ads. They're free. You can throw stuff up there and see what you get. I'm not going to go too far into that other than the fact that they're free ads, so give it a try. Number 16, always be hiring. You know, just because you have the three producers that you want doesn't mean that you can't have a sign out at the front that says, hey, we're looking for somebody. Because number one, you can always take somebody that'll work on 100% commission. It's very rare that you couldn't afford to take on somebody working 100% commission. Okay. The other thing is you might find somebody who's fantastic that stumbles into your agency that maybe would be a better fit than one of the people that you have. Or maybe they're such a good fit that you'll find a way to hire them. But if you're only hiring when you need somebody, you're only going to get people who are looking for a job when you need somebody. And that's, you know, it's not really the person that you're trying to get. Okay. Now, number 17, this is one that comes from my experience. I have seen, I've worked with, and I've witnessed a lot of agents that have interviewed producers to hire in their agency. And one of the things that I find is there's a lot of agents who they've, you know, maybe they're new to being an insurance agent, but they kind of have this attitude. I don't want it to come off like I'm like looking down on them necessarily, but the idea is like, hey, now I'm the boss. Finally, I'm a business owner and I'm the boss. So now you come in here, you want a job with me, you better sell me. And the truth is that when you take that approach, you're going to get somebody who's really good at selling you why they should buy you, but that person is not the best person to fill your job. The key is that your job interview process, don't think of it like people are trying to convince you. Think of it like you're trying to convince people. Now, obviously, if it's somebody you don't want to hire, then that doesn't matter. But the key is you're trying to find that sales superstar who could go anywhere, and you want that person to view your opportunity as the best. So the successful agents, the ones that I've talked about at the beginning of this podcast, those are the ones who, when they have people come in for job interviews, it's not a one-sided, you tell me what you've got for me. It's a two-sided thing. You know, the person has to qualify themselves as a potential applicant, but then the agent's going to talk about, well, here's the different advantages that we have. Here's the benefits that we do. Here's what our training looks like. Here's what our corporate environment looks like. Here's our holiday schedule. Here's the pay. Here's all this kind of stuff. You know, because the truth is, if you're taking an approach of the person has to sell you, the best salespeople aren't going to bite on that. They kind of want to be like sold the job themselves. And so, you know, it's kind of like a whole paradigm shift in the way you look at it. But obviously you still have to weed out the bad people. But the key is you're not trying to find the best person. You're trying to convince the best person that yours is the best opportunity. And obviously you have to follow through with that as well. So that's number 17. You're not buying the employee. You're actually selling the opportunity. Number 18 is to tell them no. Now, this actually is a technique that came out of a book that I listened to called The Ultimate Sales Machine by Chet Holmes. It's a pretty good book, there's some good information in there about hiring. But he kind of goes through this process where he says every applicant for a sales position, he puts them in this position where he tells them no. And he kind of says it probably does more justice if you read the book. But basically something like this, you know, I really appreciate the time that you've spent with me. What we're looking for is a top-tier sales superstar. And after going through your resume and having a chance to talk to you, I'm just not seeing that. Now, it's real careful the way that you do this because you don't want to just, you have to leave an open door so that the person can feel free. So you don't want to say like, no, I'm not going to hire you for the job. Because then they're going to say, eh, okay, well, whatever. But if you say something like, I'm just not hearing that you're what I need, it gives you an opportunity to see how that person handles rejection and how do they overcome rejection. Are they good at it? Or are they bad at it? Okay, so that's about as far as I'm going to go through that. I mean, you can read the book, Ultimate Sales Machine. It'll be in the show notes too at insurancesplash.com/7. But yeah, that's the idea. It's basically at some point, tell them no, but with an opportunity to overcome that objection and really make them do it. Don't give it to them. Don't hand it to them. Make them overcome that for you. So number 19, this is one that I cannot tell you how many agents have made some major mistakes with this, at least in my experience. And maybe one of the reasons I say that is because I would wind up having to train these people. But number 19 is to test their computer skills. Okay, I'm going to tell you two facts. These are facts. You can try to dispute them, but you will fail. Fact number one is a lack of basic computer skills like typing, using a spreadsheet, finding information from a website, even just doing searches on Google, using email. If you don't have those skills, that is a major handicap to being successful in the insurance business. I'm sorry, it wasn't like that 10, 15 years ago, but it is now. So take it. Fact number two, computer skills are kind of like sexually transmitted diseases. All right? You can't tell who has them just by looking at them or even asking. Okay. Now, I don't have experience on that, but I'm just going by what people tell me. That's the truth there. I probably shouldn't have gone down that path. So anyways, here's the key. You know, you see a person, you think they're 25 years old. You think, oh, of course these people have technical skills. You can't tell. Okay. But what you can do is you can come up with a very simple little test, like a Word document, an Excel spreadsheet, and maybe some questions that they have to go on the internet to find the answers to, okay? And you say, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take this document, I want you to take this spreadsheet, and I'm going to give you 20 minutes, just recreate it, and then give it back to me, okay? They don't need to be able to program websites or anything crazy, but you would be surprised how just checking this very simple thing can make a huge difference. Because when people are on a job interview, you can ask them, do you know Microsoft Word? Of course I know that. Yes, I know Microsoft Word. Of course I know that. I know Excel. I know this. I know all this stuff. Hell yeah. I was born to do that stuff. And then you get the person actually in front of a website and they're double clicking on things that should just be a single click. And they don't know any of this kind of stuff. They're mistyping things. They're misspelling things because they have to look at the keyboard. You know, just give the people a test. And it's really easy to just tell right off the bat, can they do this or can they not? It's like a yes or a no skill to have. So that's number 19 is test computer skills because they're going to need them. Number 20, look for salespeople in non-insurance related fields, okay? So what I'm talking about here is, for example, you go to Jiffy Lube and you get the oil change and the guy brings you aside. He's like, well, you really need this transmission flush and, your cabin air filter is, all this kind of stuff. Well, if you go to Jiffy Lube, you know what I'm talking about. And there are guys who are really good at it, and there are guys who are not bad at it. If you get a guy who's really good at it, think about hiring him, okay? Look outside the box. Look for people on a used car lot that can really sell those things. You could take somebody who is selling used cars right now, making a ton of money, but hating themselves for the way that they have to do it. And you take them and you put them in another position where maybe they're viewed as a little bit respectable. It's more of a career. It's a financial services position. And that person could really blossom and view it as a career. Number 21, multilingual is usually good. Okay, so if somebody can speak another language, it can open you up another door. The thing that I have to caution you about is that it's also kind of a liability because if you bring in like a Spanish speaker and you can't speak Spanish and nobody else can speak Spanish and they bring on like 100 Spanish speaking clients, you might find yourself in a position where that producer leaves and you can't even service these people. That's not too good. The other thing is too, that person could leave and they might just take all those people with them. And finally, it could be a problem too, because if you're, listening to your employees talk to your clients and they're talking in a language that you don't understand, you might not really know that everything that's being said is what you want to be said. So the key is that multilingual is definitely a value, but with it comes that you have to have tremendous amount of trust in that person, and you have to see them as a long term unless you have several people that can speak that language or it's easy to replace that language speaking. So that was number 21. Multilingual is good. Number 22 is to use LinkedIn. Use LinkedIn to find people. Okay, you can announce that you're hiring. Again, you don't want to say, who do you know that needs a job? You want to kind of describe the perfect person. But you can make posts out there. You can reach out to people in related industries and let them know that you're hiring. Just let as many people know that you're looking for a superstar as you possibly can, because the more people you have to choose from, the better off you are. Number 23 is to research applicants on social media. It's pretty easy to find out somebody. Just go out to Google, you type in their first name, their last name, and the word Facebook. And in a lot of situations, you're basically going to get their Facebook page. And especially if you're talking about like a young person, you go to their Facebook page, and it's like a picture of them with like beer cans in their eyeballs, you know, or something, or they're like doing a bong hit, you know, like on the cover of their Facebook page. You know, you can learn a lot about that. And I mean, not to say necessarily, I mean, I've done a lot of crazy things. I've never really posted any of them to social media. So, you know, you could be good, but the truth is that even somebody who's crazy should know better than to do that. And somebody who doesn't know better than to kind of have things that really should be more private hidden from their social media accounts, that's the same person who's not going to think twice about coming into your office hungover or just not treating your clients that the right way. So, you know, check out, you know, do a search for their name, find their LinkedIn profile, find their Facebook page, find their Twitter page if they have one, and just take a look and see what they're doing. And it's really easy to do that. I do it for a lot of people, even people I'm trying to sell to or different things like that. So, number 24, watch out for movers. Okay. This is one that I've seen happen several times where the person reaches out to an agent. They're maybe like five states away or they're on the other side of the country and they say, "Hey, I'm trying to move into your area and I'm looking for a job." And a lot of times the agent thinks this is great because they say, "Oh, you know what? This is somebody who knows our systems. Maybe they sold for the same carrier in this other state and they're looking for a job here." You know, it sounds like a perfect situation. And this person is usually comes with a good reference and they know the right things to say in order to get you to say yes. And, you know, there's all kinds of reasons why it sounds like a great opportunity. But here's the downside that I've seen a lot of times. I've seen a lot of situations where the person wants to move where your agency is, but they can't do it without a job. And so what they'll do is they'll convince an agent to hire them so that they can move and so that they can keep their income coming because they live paycheck to paycheck. And then once they get there, that's when they're going to look for their new job. And so you want to be careful. And I don't have any great ideas right now off the top of my head, but if somebody's trying to move to your area and they're not there now, just be careful that they're not trying to use your position as a stepping stone, because that can, you know, I've just seen it happen way too many times. And so I have to add it into this list. So, okay. Now, number 25 is to ask for everything that you want. Ask for the stars when you're posting for jobs. Okay. If you advertise that your producer job is a $25,000 a year plus commission position, you're going to get people who think they're worth about $28,000. Now, if you say that hardworking applicants that are self-starters and are willing to do what it takes to make $80,000, you're going to get a whole different cohort of people, better cohort. Okay, so use your advertisement to weed out the mediocre. If you ask for $25,000 a year of value, that's what you're going to get. So ask for everything, or try different ads. Try ads where you're asking for, you know, really superstars. Try ones that you're asking for people who are new, but, you know, are ambitious. Try different things. But, you know, don't ask for the least when you're posting for jobs. So anyways, that was number 25. That was 1 through 25 of ideas that are designed to help you hire better employees. Like I told you at the very beginning, there's a really good chance it's the most important thing that you do in running your business is making sure that you have the right people sitting in those seats, because in the end that they're going to be the face of your business. They're everything. So just make sure you do, you know, take extra time, work harder, do everything you can to get the best people. And don't ever forget that once you have them, you got to keep them happy, take care of them. So that's, those are my ideas. I really hope that helps you. That's why I create this stuff, is to help insurance agents like yourself. If you did find that this information was helpful for you and you want to say thank you, a great way to do it would be to go out to iTunes and just write a 5-star review with some positive words about maybe something you learned during the podcast, or just, you know, how you feel about it. That would mean a lot to me. Also, if you want to read some notes that will have some links to resources that I mentioned during this podcast, you can go to the show notes page, which is available by going to insurancesplash.com/7. Each one of these podcasts, if you go to insurancesplash.com/ and the number of the podcast, it'll take you right to that page. So that's insurancesplash.com/7. And you can get the notes with all the different resources and information that I talked about here. That's all I have for today. So trying to shorten these a little bit, but it looks like I'm still at about 30. Each one of these podcasts, if you go to insurancesplash.com/ and the number of the podcast, it'll take you right to that page. So that's insurancesplash.com/7. And you can get the notes with all the different resources and information that I talked about here. That's all I have for today. So trying to shorten these a little bit, but it looks like I'm still at about 30. Each one of these podcasts, if you go to insurancesplash.com/ and the number of the podcast, it'll take you right to that page. So that's insurancesplash.com/7. And you can get the notes with all the different resources and information that I talked about here. That's all I have for today. So trying to shorten these a little bit, but it looks like I'm still at about 35 minutes. I apologize for that. I'm trying to compress and give you as much as I can in as little time. But anyways, that's all I got for today. So have a great rest of your week. Have a great rest of your day. Have a great rest of your month. Have a great rest of your life. I'm John Carroll. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Go sell some insurance.
Thanks for listening to Insurance.